Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio this day with Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well, man, and I'm going to lunch today to the BMA thing at Maggiano's. Looking forward to that. Did you see me coming? I'm wearing slacks today and socks.
I know. What is that? I was a little surprised. So they make you dress up together?
You know, they didn't spell it out, but I just got the sense, because we had that crowd in here a couple of weeks ago, and they're very well-dressed, very articulate, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to wear some slacks. I have a sport coat in a truck. I'm going to do the whole thing.
And so this is Maggiano's in Buckhead, and this is the BMA meeting, and it's a speaker that was a guest, right?
Yeah, we got Dan McDade, who just released a book, The Truth About Leads. He's going to be the speaker. And you know what a great job he did on the show, so I'm looking forward to that. I do need to borrow actually, I need a dollar, but I need quarters. So before I leave, I need four quarters, please.
Four quarters.
Because I got to go through the toll down 400. This is as far inside the perimeter as I normally get.
We're not inside the perimeter.
We're not? This is as far toward the perimeter that I normally get.
Near the perimeter.
Yeah. Right. So I need to borrow a little money on the way out, please.
Yes. Okay. I'll take care of that. But so it'll be Dan McDade speaking, and we have no idea what happens at these meetings.
No, this is our first one. I'm going to show up wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, and smile and see if we can't recruit some really interesting guests, because that's what we're all about, right? We want interesting guests.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we shoot for. We aim high.
But we pulled it off today.
Yes, we have a return guest.
A proven guest. She's returning. Her name is Zenobia Godschalk. I think I'm probably saying that close to right. She's with ZAG Communications. Welcome back, Zenobia.
Thank you, Stone. How are you?
I'm doing great. We are delighted to have you back. I can't believe you were willing to come back and visit with us again, but I'm so tickled that you were. And you brought yet another client with you. Tell us about the gentleman you brought with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. And I'm glad to be back here. I'm here with Jason E. Smith, who's one of our clients. Jason is the VP of Marketing for Liquidware Labs. They are an Atlanta company focused on next-generation desktops. And Jason was previously with Intrigue Systems, which was acquired by Liquidware Labs in 2009 for something that I'll let him talk about, which is its user environment managed solution called Profile Unity. So Jason is a longtime marketing and software exec. He has had a lot of experience in Windows management and networking companies, folks that you've probably heard of, like Red Hat and Citrix Systems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he is from Atlanta and went to UGA, so he's a longtime Atlanta Tech member of the community.
And he's wearing socks, too, by the way.
Is he?
I just looked under the table.
It's a classic group we have.
That's a requirement for all our clients.
what a cool name, though, this Liquidware Labs. Did you come up with that, or did some kid in class come up with that? Where'd you get that?
We did. Our founders. And thanks, by the way, for having me on the show, and thanks for that, Zenobia. Our founders came up with the name Liquidware Labs, and actually they loved the name Liquidware to start with, but that was taken. So Liquidware Labs, and it even was more befitting of where we are in helping desktops transform to their next desktop.
Have you tried Liquid E-ware? That's probably available.
I should. So, yeah, notable Jason E. Smith. Yeah.
So give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch, if you would, about your business. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Yep. So we've been around now for only a couple of years, but the technology that we sell has been around collectively for 7 years each. And I say each because we have two main products. So we're in the business of transforming or helping customers transform desktops, Windows desktops in particular. And there's a large movement to virtualizing desktops, and as well as to go into Windows 7. A lot of companies and organizations haven't gone to Windows 7 yet, and we're there to help them with a methodology and set of solutions that help them get there very easily.
So can you, in layman's terms, like what is that? What's a desktop? What are you talking about?
Surely.
The screen on my computer, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Not my desk.
Sometimes a bit more than that, although now the definition of a desktop is very subjective. So.
Right.
So, Lee, a desktop in this case, we're talking about a Windows desktop, and you know, a desktop and the terminology of what people are using for a desktop is now now more or less definable depending on how that individual uses what makes them productive. That could even be now an iPad that runs a Windows session on a desktop that's located somewhere, you know, in the cloud, as Microsoft has defined the cloud a little differently than we would have, but. A desktop is ultimately still what you would recognize as a Windows desktop with the icons there and everything that you need to make your day productive. It could be not Windows. Of course, it could be a Mac or even now a Linux desktop. But now with Windows having still about 90% market share for the worldwide desktop market, that's where we're still squarely focused with our solutions.
And so what problem are you solving? Because moving to Windows or doesn't seem like that big a deal to me, but maybe it is in a much bigger organization.
Yeah, that's a great question, Stone.
Did you hear that, Lee? That was a great question.
It was a great question.
Mark the date and time.
Because you know, some people move to Windows, and when they do, they literally turn off their old XP machine. And when they turn on an XP, I mean like Windows XP machine, which was highly successful for Microsoft, and they turn on a Windows 7 machine that they ran over and got from Best Buy, or if you're a corporation, you've ordered it from CDW. Very quickly, you notice that some things are missing. This machine has to be configured. There's no personal data that I had on my old machine that was on that machine that's now showing up on my new machine. And one of the most important things is user-authored data. It didn't come across. So my documents and everything that I had created, all the things that were mission-critical to my life or to my business practice, are not available in that new environment. So we have a methodology for helping companies get over to a new desktop. It could be a virtual desktop environment. I'd be glad to explain that too, or a Windows 7 desktop environment.
So do you think that we're moving towards more virtualization?
Yep.
Or you'd like us to, right?
So now that we're in the business of helping companies move to virtual, we'd love for everyone to go virtual. So,
and that means that virtual means that I can be on anybody's computer and then I would access my desktop.
That's part of the definition, I would say, of a virtual desktop. Really what a virtual desktop is, and sometimes we take for granted that the entire industry knows what this is, but as we know that there's only for instance, just a few percentage points of the PC desktop market has gone virtual, but it's several million times that are planning to go virtual, as statistics from Gartner and other analyst groups have purported for the next few years. So it's a rapidly growing and defining market. But a virtual desktop, the guys known for kind of creating this space, so to speak, are a similar space, or Citrix. And Citrix, several years ago, everybody knows them for Go to My PC and other things, but the heart of their business was in the early 90s, was giving users in an organization multiple desktop sessions, if you will, on a Windows server. And in doing so, they were running multiple desktop sessions on one server. So you had one operating system on the server at that time. When it was most successful, it was a Windows NT server in the back office, and it could support, say, several dozen people that could log into this and have unique experiences that the other didn't necessarily see what was going on in the other desktop session. So they had a private desktop session running off of that one server. That market evolved to the fact that today we have an additional technology. That technology is still very successful from Citrix, but now they have a virtual desktop, and now VMware has actually led the market for virtualization as a whole, for virtualizing servers and now desktops.
And then now multiple people can share one, right?
Right. Well, that's true. And that's where we actually come into play. So a virtual desktop would be a true virtual desktop would be you virtualize everything that makes a desktop, everything down to the hardware, and therefore you have what they call a hypervisor level, which is hypervisor being the virtual machine. On top of that, you have the operating system. So VMware has a technology called VMware View that does that for desktops now, and Citrix has one called Zen Desktop that does that as well. There's many advantages, and one of those is to offer those as a corporation, for example, in a non-persistent format. So more than one person can log on to a machine and have that experience. So a lot of companies may have, you know, let's use an example of 10,000 employees. Only 8,000 of them are logged on at a time, or a better case would be a call center that has three shifts of workers that are filling that call center, and they have 7,000 employees that can ultimately come into that call center and log on to a machine, but only 1,500 of them are there at a time per shift. So with virtualization, you can leverage a non-persistent machine or a stateless machine. And what that is it's the basic Windows operating system that's served up in a virtual format. But the only holdback on that is that when a user logs off of that, no personalization is retained on those machines. So the way that the VMware themselves have been rolling out the most desktops lately is just doing persistent one-to-one desktops. So I have a virtual machine. It sits in the back office, and it waits for me to log on it. And so does everyone else. In that case, 8,000 people in that call center would have to, or whatever the figure I said, 7,000 people would have to have each individual machine.
Right. So this is more efficient.
That's right. So to do that non-persistently, you of course could minimize your number of machines. You could only license 1,500 machines or PCs, virtual PCs.
But see, Lee and I, we already knew all this. We were just talking about this earlier today. What I want to know is, no, you're very knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. You're very articulate. You're obviously very passionate about what you do. With all due respect, why do you need Zenobia? Why do you need a PR pro?
Yep. We're too busy out there selling, selling, right? So Zenobia is Zag Communications, very focused in helping startups, especially she has a knack in this virtualization world of companies, and she really does know this stuff.
She's
got the reputation there for helping companies like us come to market better and get in front of, you know.
When you say better, what do you specifically talk about? What's a better way?
A better way of coming to market? So,
like, is she getting you more press? Is she getting you more appearances and conferences?
Absolutely. So let's talk about Zag for a little bit. So Zag is Zag Communications, Zenobia leading Zag. They're experts at really getting us in front of the media and now the social media that we need to be in front of, including radio opportunities like this. Speaking opportunities at conferences and now even virtual conferences. Zag was just successful here in the last couple of days getting one of our execs a spot at Cloud Slam coming up. You know, it said New York City, but it's really virtual. There's no.
So you don't really get on a plane and go to New York City.
Right. It's all virtual. There's virtual trade show booths and everything else.
So walk us through that. How will this Cloud Slam thingy work?
Yeah. Do you know a great deal about Cloud Slam?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'd be glad to talk about what I do know. So Cloud Slam, and it's all about cloud computing. Virtualization fits in part of that. So it's obviously the market that we're after, and it was opportunities that we knew about, speaking opportunities there. So there'll be sessions just like a lot of trade shows and conferences have sessions. But they're all virtual, so you'll have to log on to their website, register, and you get to sit in on these virtual sessions. So they're recorded and after the fact, but they're also done live as well. So one of our execs, Tyler Rohr, one of our founders, he'll be given a speaking session on the stateless desktop and how to do disaster recovery in these virtual environments as well. So a great opportunity there, and not only that, but they're great at getting us extra exposure on Twitter. And then through the traditional means as well. And some work that they did last week from Zag Communications got us in Computer Reseller News. So some great work that Zag's been doing for
us.
And
now look where you are. Nope. You're on Atlanta Business Radio, baby. Radio. You have hit the pinnacle.
Doesn't get bigger than this.
So how did you guys first meet each other? Did you meet at some conference? How did that happen?
Yeah, it was a sort of unique. I actually was doing some work for Zenobia not less than about 2.5 years ago. So when I had my startup, Intrigue, that really I co-owned with another individual, we weren't selling enough software to pay the bills. And I've been in marketing in marketing in Atlanta for a long time. So I reached out to a network of people that I knew and to keep a couple of accounts under my own name. And a friend of mine, a joint friend of mine through the PRSA, hooked us up through an inquiry that Zenobia put out. So I followed up on the inquiry, and we talked, and we actually handled an account together here in town for a while before the Intrigue Systems took off. And then I left Zag and took the marketing position over at Liquidware Labs. And one of the first things we did once we started becoming profitable was we reached back out to Zag to see how they could help us.
Oh, that's a little incestuous there.
It's a very small community.
We'll go with that. That's better.
That's Zenobia's marketing strategy, right?
She hires people, right. Sends them off to get jobs, and then they hire her back.
That's right.
It's very clever. I like it.
In terms of a lead generation model, that's probably not the most cost effective.
I know you can scale that. You got to hire a lot of people to scale that.
So what makes an ideal client? Because surely some clients are easier to work with than others, and you probably know pretty early on, boy, this one's really going to click, and I get the sense that's the case here. What are you looking for in your ideal client, and how do you know when you've really nailed it?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, but as you can tell, you know, talking to Jason, he has – he has a pretty extensive knowledge of what he's trying to sell and a pretty clear vision of where the company is going to go. And that's a really important criteria for us. That's really important, you know, that the company, you know, have a product, have the passion that they're willing to, you know, to kind of give everything, and they're willing to, you know, to focus on it. And then also that your marketing contact internally has that understanding of what it takes, right? Has both the technical understanding as well as the understanding of what it takes to really successfully bring a product to market and to, you know, to get that broad exposure. So they're willing to do the things like take time out of their day, which is, you know, very busy and at a startup has a number of competing priorities, and, you know, go and speak and take time to speak with reporters and take time to speak with press and take time to spend time with us and help us understand what are the angles that we can be pitching, you know, what are the pieces of news that we can be shopping around and sharing. You know, so for example, you know, with CloudSlam, these guys aren't going to have to travel, but they are going to have to take time and prepare a speech.
Right,
they're going
right.
to have to prepare slides. They're going to have to think about the story that they want to tell, and then they're actually going to have to deliver that and spend time doing the Q&A. So, you know, they'll be able to get a lot of leverage out of that and reach a broad audience, but you have to see that commitment from an organization to PR, to really be willing to do PR in order for it to be successful.
And so that's really where the investment is, probably as much, if not more so, than whatever check you're writing, Zag Communications. Are you seeing ROI on this already, or and you've got your metrics established and you're keeping your eye on that ball?
I would say we're definitely seeing a return on our investment from our investment with Zag Communications. We really monitor, you know, how many. Ultimately, we like to see people download, install, and buy our software. I mean, that's the most straightforward way. And when do we see those spikes? For downloads and installations, it's when there is an event, and sometimes that, and more often than not, lately it's been because Zag Communications has helped us put out a press release, get it out there to the right audience, or had a speaking engagement for us that has garnered us that additional traffic on our website. So I correlated where our leads were coming in just a few months ago, and you could definitely see do a couple press releases a month, and you had a spike that day and a spike that day. If there was a speaking engagement or they had placed a bylined article on a website in the industry for us, we'd definitely see a spike even that day for download traffic. So ultimately, nobody buys our software unless they have downloaded, tried it, and then they bought it. And the work that Zag's doing helps cause that to happen.
Is that your exclusive means of marketing? Is this PR, or do you do run ads in magazines? Do you do any of the old school marketing?
We other than a couple of the very social guys in this industry, where we have a little bit of exposure on their sites, we have not. The other way that we go to market with Liquidware Labs is through some strategic agreements that we have with big players in the industry like Dell, VMware themselves, and Citrix, who have bought into our tool set, our solution set, so much that they've enabled their engineers with it. So in doing so, they get the solutions in the hands of their engineers, and then they recommend them to the customers at the end of the project of a migration to leave behind part of the software so it can monitor the environment. So we use that as our lead generation mechanism more so really than anything else. But to back that up and to help drive a lot of the name recognition and everything, the work that Zag's doing is really helping us out on a day-to-day basis.
So what's next for you guys? Any new projects going on? Any new different channels you're trying to open up? Or are you just going to really focus on expanding what you've got going?
Well, next for us is to do more of what we've been doing, which works. And
that's a good strategy, don't you think, Lee?
Another one, write that down.
Yeah. So, we are recording this, right?
So even with Zag Communications, you know, we would like to do more of that. We would like to do more of these speaking opportunities. And when we've hired up lately, we're now up to, you know, we're still a small business, but we're up to about 40 plus or minus employees here.
You got any openings for radio personalities?
Yeah.
We're always looking for work, right?
We may. We'll monitor the leads right after this.
And there you go. See how we do.
But no joke, there's a lot of corners of this marketing PR arena where you can't really monitor it as well as you can. You really can keep a very close tabs on
what works,
the result,
and what
works,
right?
And what doesn't.
We do, and we're getting even better about it as we have a little bit more bandwidth to help people to actually track it on a day-to-day basis, people that aren't out there actively selling. So it's very interesting how far we've come in this business. You know, we saw the demise largely of print media especially in this business, the technology business, because people were apt to grab the social and the internet angle of reading their media on a daily basis, and nobody knew where to go for a while. But I think it's become really defined how you get the market message out there, Zag helping us do that, and also really defined about how you can measure it now. And it's actually more satisfactory, I think, than when I first started marketing in this business in the early 90s, where you threw stuff against the wall, tried to get the print media out there, and you had no idea who's reading it. Now you can track down to the individual that's reading it, and if they download something, you can track, you know who their email is, and you can call them within just a few minutes. And you couldn't do that with traditional print media in the past.
So before we let you go, I want to hear more about this social stuff, because, everybody, we have so many people come to the studio, and they're all over the continuum about their perspective on the value of the Twitter, the Facebook, the LinkedIn, the Foursquare, all that business, the MyFace. Where are you on it, and how well is it serving you?
That's another great question.
That's two in a row, baby.
Man.
I'm batting 1,000.
You're on a roll today.
Yep. So social media, we've really embraced it. And Zag Communications, I knew it embraced it. We actually came up with some plans here when Twitter started gaining so much steam to designate a couple of people in the company to tweet the messages out on a daily basis about news, and put a download link right in their messages, and to drive people back to either the news hit of the day, or ultimately, hopefully, back directly to our site where we may have a brief of the news hit. For instance, this radio opportunity, we'll take it and we'll put it on our website. We'll also actively go out there, and for our market, it depends on the market that you're in, but for the market that we're in, we know there's a big following on Twitter, so we focus a lot of our social aspects around that. We've got a few people that are nominated in the company that are our official tweeters out there, if you will. I'm one of those. And
cool.
And so we'll put links back to that. So this will be an opportunity when this goes live. We'll map it up. We'll put a little brief on our website, and then we'll drive the traffic back through our website, and then ultimately back to you.
So do we get a royalty on that, Lee? Where's the contract on this thing, man?
He signed something when he came in.
That's
right. He didn't realize
that's
it.
Right. That's the social media aspect that's still being mapped out, how to make money at social media, right? But
we figured it out. Don't worry, Jason.
Yep.
And Jason and the team are very engaged in the conversation too, right? Twitter is not just a one-way stream where you're pushing out information to clients. It's about paying attention to what other people in your industry are talking about and responding to them. So, seeing when people are talking about, is someone talking about, oh, I'm having a hard time, moving all my folks to Windows 7, or I'm thinking about maybe moving to virtual desktops, answering those questions, starting to have that one-on-one dialogue, and, making sure that people know that name in response to that, being kind of a trusted advisor, kind of helps to bring in people too, helps you to gain followers, because they feel like, oh, you are paying attention to what I'm tweeting about, and you might have a valid perspective on this.
Are you using Quora?
No.
Not yet?
No, I was going to say,
because, there's a million of them. That's one of the challenges.
I don't even know what he's talking about. Are we using Quora?
Yes.
We are? Uh-huh. Yeah. We strongly endorse here at Business Radio X.
I'd sure like to know more about that.
It's a question and answer service, right?
So you can, Zenobia knows.
You can become sort of a trusted expert.
Right.
Yeah. But it's something that we monitor. I think the community, there's been a lot of buzz around Quora. The community actually using it is still definitely smaller. And I think, we're kind of looking at it on more of an opportunistic, is there something very specific to answer on there and to go to become an expert? But I wouldn't say that it's, it certainly hasn't reached it doesn't have the reach of Twitter or Facebook right now.
So you're using primarily Twitter and Facebook?
We primarily use Twitter. We do have a LinkedIn account, which tells about the company, and you can look at the employees there. We use the LinkedIn groups to some extent to talk about our events coming up, and even before Liquidware. And I have a couple of groups that I'm the administrator of, a virtual architect group, which has several hundred people in it. And then I have a virtual tech leaders group, which has C-level execs from peer organizations all across the industry are part of that. So we use LinkedIn for a couple of things, but for a daily basis, I don't use Twitter from a personal aspect. There's a lot of people out there that do. I really use it to help market the company. So I don't tell people that, I'm going to go get the tires changed on my car or anything like that. And there's a lot of people that do that, and there's a place for that. But you have to find, I think, as a company, where your audience is and what they're using. And for our audience, we know for sure that there is a big drive around people joining and monitoring Twitter in this industry. And as going back to what Zenobia said, we don't just use it to push out messages all day long, but we monitor Twitter, and it's really, you know, it's one of the cool things. So roaming profiles is one of the things that we'll monitor in Twitter, because roaming profiles from Microsoft will fall short for many organizations. And
it's an opportunity for you then.
So it's a great opportunity. We can reach right back out to that person that has said, you know, they're frustrated with roaming profiles. They've spent 2 days trying to get it configured, and we say, we've got a better solution. Just check us out. You know, we try to be.
But do you do it that blatantly? Or
nondescript about it, you know.
You have to kind of play around the edges. You can't, you know, right? You don't want to say, hey, buy my stuff.
Exactly right. Yep. We've got some white papers out there that tell people how to try to use roaming profiles better. But ultimately, you know.
No, but that's where you're trying to move them to. But isn't that how the social media game is played? It's about sharing information and then kind of winning the hearts and minds and then moving them over to your solution over time.
That's exactly how we're using it, and we're starting to use it better in that regard.
You got to buy her a drink or two. You can't just go straight up to her and say, you know, I'm in room 305.
Right.
I mean, you got to work it a little bit, right?
The same thing.
That's what we do. That's what we do. We buy drinks on Twitter. That sums it up.
Twitter drinks.
So how can our listeners reach you on Twitter, and what are your other coordinates for the listeners out there that want to learn more about your work and want to meet Captain Virtualization here?
Sure. So the company's Twitter account is Liquidware Labs, no spaces in that. And, you know, we joked about my name being Jason E. Smith earlier. I'm Jason E. Smith 12, or 1-2, and just because 1-2 was easy to type the day I created my Twitter account. It has nothing to do with the year I was born or anything like that. So that's how you can reach us. Our website is also at the same domain, liquidwarelabs.com, so you can reach out and learn more about us there.
Well, Jason E. Smith with Liquidware Labs, thanks so much for joining us, man. We've learned a ton this morning, and Zenobia, thanks for bringing him on.
Thanks for having
us. You're two for two.
You're two for two. I mean, you are just welcome anytime. Before we let you go, let's make sure that our listeners know about you, because anybody out there that's looking for some professional PR support, they need to talk to Miss Zenobia, don't they?
I would heavily endorse that. Yep. As long as she hires up to take care of that, doesn't take any of the staff away from my account.
That's right. Don't worry, she'll hire you first.
Right, right. That's right.
Before you're a client.
That's right.
She'll hire you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you can find us online at zagcommunications.com or on Twitter at marketingguru.
Cool. Good stuff, Stone. Another great show. And this Inside PR series, I think we're getting close to the end of this for a while, huh?
Yeah, I think we're going to move in a little different direction for a few weeks. We're going to do the safety matters type thing. So
that's right. Inside safety.
Inside safety.
So, Zenobia, you're going to have to open your Rolodex for
that's
the
right.
safety people we're looking for.
That might be a little stretch, but I'll take a look.
All right. Well, that wraps up another session of Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you next time.